Well, what a great joy it is to be here with you this evening, celebrating this Holy Mass. What an amazing thing it is that we have the opportunity to celebrate all these wonderful holy men and women who have gone before us, right? Some of them are named, but this feast actually today, if you read in the Roman Missal, we're actually commemorating this feast for all those who aren't named. Those mothers and grandmothers and fathers and friends, and those people that we've known, those holy people that have gone before us. Many people that we haven't known. But there's a lot of them. So many. In the first reading, we heard about these huge multitudes and all praising the Lord. And if we, sometimes it may seem like, oh, that's way far away, that's unattainable. You know, not me, how could I ever get there? Well, if we just think about it for a minute, we know people. We can't say, I guess, with any absolute guarantee, because the church hasn't proclaimed them saints, but we know some people, probably there. You know, they've lived very, very holy lives, very good people. All these saints, they're all exemplars for us, right? They're rooting for us. They're on the other side, doing everything they can to intercede for us. In the office of the readings today, St. Bernard starts out, he's talking about, why would they even care? You know, here they are, living the Beatitude. I mean, they're literally face to face with God. Why do they care about us, right? They made it. They made it across the finish line. Because they're part of the body of Christ too, the mystical body of Christ, just like we are. They want us to be with them. So let us welcome their assistance, right? They want us to be saints too. There's one line here that really stuck out to me, I think that is very revealing for us as I was reflecting upon the readings. It's from the second reading, so this is from John's first letter. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. That's the key to all of this. That's the key to the whole Christian life. And so it's talking about the Father too, by the way. So the sentence right before that, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God, yet so we are. And then the reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know Him. If we don't know the Father, then we're largely clueless. Why would we want to be part of this multitude that's throwing their crowns down and they're praising the Lord? Like, who cares? We live in a culture of me, right? I'm going to worship me. I'm God, right? The world revolves around me. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Of course, it doesn't work, but that's if we don't know the Father, if we don't know His love, then who cares about the Beatitudes? You know, these Beatitudes, if you look at them, you think, how could I possibly do all these all at once? It's kind of like whack-a-mole, right? I want to focus on the meek one, and then, oh, geez, the one over here, you know, like squeezing Jell-O, right? You can never get your hand on it. So you're like, what is this? Maybe I'll just worship myself, right? Maybe that's easier, right? Maybe in the immediate term. But if we know the Father, if we know the Father's love for us, the delight that He has in every single one of us, He's got a unique, unrepeatable love for each and every one of us. And He has a thirst to share that love with every single one of us. If we know that, if we even have an inkling of that, a little tiny drop of that, then we're going to desire what we see in the first reading. And the Beatitudes are going to start to make sense. Because we're going to want more and more of that Father's love, that delight that He has in every single one of us. We are beloved sons and daughters of the Father. Then this worship, and by the way, the angels and the saints, what we heard in the first reading is going on right now. We can't see it, but it's happening. Heaven meets earth in the Holy Mass. All that is happening right now. And it matters to us. We care about it if we know the Father's love. If we know His love and how beautiful His love is. He gave His only begotten Son because He loves us so much, right? Send Him down to become one of us, to slog it out with us for 33 years, die the most despicable, painful death possible because of His love for us. He gives us the Holy Spirit, right? To inebriate us, to guide us, to lead us closer and closer and closer to Him so that He can peel back the layers of guilt and shame and sin and darkness and whatever it is. He never comes to shame us, wag His finger. He just wants to liberate, brothers and sisters. That's all the Father wants to do, is so that we can be intimately united with Him, completely united with Him. And that's what the heavenly homeland is. But we can taste it more and more every single day, more and more and more now. That's what he desires for us, brothers and sisters. The question, Father Kyle asked this a little bit different way, but last night, he basically said, I want to be a saint. Do you want to be saints? It's kind of the same thing. Do you want the Father's love? Do you want this intimate, amazing, life-changing, transforming experience of the Father's love? Or do you just want to love yourself? Make yourself God. Maybe God, the God, the Father of heaven and earth is over here somewhere. But it's all about me. That's a terrible way to live. That's being imprisoned by yourself, really. So that's a good question. Do you want the Father's love? It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you, isn't it? But you're going to reap far more than you ever invest. So much goodness, so much beauty. And really, at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, it's all about surrender. It's all about surrender. That's how this second reading from St. John, so beautiful, this little piece, that's how it becomes true. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Sinners though we are, broken though we are, straying children we are sometimes, we're still beloved children of God. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him like he is. That's the fullness of beatitude. And how do we get there? Well, we practice beatitude now, right? We do our best. We don't play whack-a-mole with the Beatitudes. We turn to the Lord and we surrender to him. And then he enacts the Beatitudes within us. That's how we do it. We can put a list on the wall and, have action plans and everything. Okay, blessed are the meek. That's going to be this week. Next week, it's those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You might get a little bit of success, but if you surrender to the Lord, that's when these really come alive. That's when they truly become alive in your heart, in your soul, not just in your mind, but in every aspect of your being. And that's the best way to live, brothers and sisters. So the gospel passage begins. So when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. That's what he's doing right now. He's sitting right here. He's saying, come, I want to teach you something. I want to show you the path to the Father. I want to show you full access to the Father's love. Follow me. That's what he's saying. He sits down. That's what the teachers did back in those days. They sat down and everybody came to them. And how beautiful it is. Now you live this way, no doubt. He gets to the end. It gets tougher at the end. That's when he starts talking about blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he ups the ante. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, he says. That doesn't sound like much cause for rejoicing, does it? We were talking about this in the Young Men's Discernment group today. But it truly is. On a pure human physical level, you think, no, I'm going to run away. But on a spiritual level, as you're inebriated with the Father's love, rejoice and be glad, because this, when you're persecuted for the sake of righteousness, brings you straight to the cross with Jesus. And that's the straight path to the Father, to his love. It's the cross. So he's saying, rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. But heaven meets earth right here, brothers and sisters, so your reward can be great even now. Ultimately fulfilled in heaven, yes. But there, we don't have to wait till heaven. The Lord wants us to experience as much as we possibly can of him now. And again, how do we do that? We surrender to him. We just surrender to him. And we'll conclude here today with this, with the beautiful the gospel antiphon, which comes from, this is from Matthew chapter 11, verse, I think it's probably about 26 or so. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest, says the Lord. Ultimately, he's pointing to the Sabbath rest. He's not talking about a power nap or a good night's sleep here. Talking about the eternal rest of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what he wants for you. Every single one of us is burdened. We're laboring under the darkness and whatever else we have ourselves mixed up in. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Brothers and sisters, let's just say yes. Let's seek to be those saints that He created us to be, the beloved sons and daughters of the Father. Just drink it in. Just say yes. Allow the fire of His love to transform us and indeed to transform our entire world.